Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably... And you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am the smart. I am the smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. I'm glad you're here. Thanks for being part of my day. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a very special show coming up for you in this half hour. I'm very excited about having two of our friends back on the show. Clara Villarosa is an African-American woman who is an entrepreneur. She's a highly successful entrepreneur in the book business. She did some things that she wasn't supposed to be able to do. And then she retired from that business and then wrote a book called The First 10 Steps to Entrepreneurship for Women. The title of the book's called Down to Business. Clara Villarosa, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here this morning.
Good to have you back. And you're being joined by another friend of ours. Donald Hunter is also an African-American entrepreneur and a commercial financial expert. He's been a member of, he's also a member of our Brain Trust. Don Hunter, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Thank you.
It's good to have you back. Say hello to Clara.
Hi, Clara. How are you this morning?
Hi there.
You guys have three things in common. You're both African-American, you're both entrepreneurs, and you both overcame some obstacles to be successful besides that the normal things the marketplace throws at you, that the issues that African-Americans have had in the marketplace, and what this other thing. Donald, you've been blind since 7 years old, haven't you?
That's correct, yes.
And Clara, when you were here the last time, we talked about the extra challenges, especially in your generation, which is also my generation,
right,
of women in the marketplace.
That's right. Women in the business environment.
Yes, exactly. Good point, yes. And so both of you have overcome quite a few obstacles, more than just, but not, never mind just you know, being successful in the marketplace. That's enough of a challenge all by itself, isn't it, Don?
Yes, it is.
Now,
it really is.
So what I want you guys to help us with today, now help me out with this. Should I say African American or Black American?
For me,
whatever.
You can say either.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
You can say either. Whatever is comfortable for you and for your audience.
Well, I know, but I want to make sure that I'm accurate.
You want to be
accurate,
PC.
but not politically correct, because
you want to be PC.
I'm going to tell you something, folks. One of the things I want to talk about today.
People are quite sensitive these days, too.
I want to talk about PC, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But before we go there, Monday was Martin Luther King's Day of Recognition, a national holiday. And we celebrated his legacy, his message, and the hopes and dreams that he had in his life that he gave for the courage of his convictions that literally cost him his life. So here's my question to you two African American successful entrepreneurs: has the African American community in 2010, as we look back, have you earned the sacrifice of Martin Luther King? Has that community earned that? Is that a fair question, Clara?
We've earned it.
Okay.
Yes, we have.
All right.
But has it been provided to us?
So tell us what you mean by that.
But do we have the same benefits of this society as everyone else? Can we now say it's a completely level playing field? Because that's what he wanted.
Yeah.
He wanted us not to experience the differential treatment that he knew about.
And has that happened?
No.
Okay. Tell us why. Tell us where we're lacking.
Although we have certainly made strides, and that is undeniable, however, there are still instances where we find ourselves experiencing more prejudice and more discrimination. when you think about
But Clara didn't wasn't it
more severely.
Hold on to that thought, Clara, because Don, prejudice, we're never going to get rid of that, are we? I mean,
that's
a human thing, Don. And isn't Dr. King's legacy more about access to opportunity than getting rid of prejudice?
Right. It's about giving everyone a level playing field in which to perform on. And I agree with Claire. I think racism and unfair practices exist, but I think if it's not your race, then it's going to be because you're a woman.
Yeah.
Or you're tall, or you're too short,
or you're blind. Hold on to that thought, folks. I got to take a quick break. We have to sell something. 20 till, right back with Clara and Don. I'm Jim. Stay with us. Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Having a great visit with two of our friends, two of our Brain Trust members, very valuable individuals and accomplished. Donald Hunter, who is a financial expert, a commercial real estate and financial expert. Claire Villarosa, who's an entrepreneur herself, a bookstore owner, and an author of Down to Business. Both of them are African Americans. Both of them are entrepreneurs. Both of them overcame some obstacles that were not regular obstacles, including the fact that that Claire was a woman business owner at a time when there weren't many of those, and Don has been blind since 7 years old, and yet both of them still were extremely successful and still are. And we're talking about the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King for part of what we're talking about, and whether the African American community has earned that legacy and some of those elements. Don, you were talking when we went to the break, and I'm going to push back just a little bit and say that from my perspective, I think that there's still too much concern about what is not being done and not enough taking advantage of what has been done. Is that a fair question?
I think that's a fair question, and I think that's true. My first thing that I would recommend for African Americans who want to be entrepreneurs is to get education, and often the education for businesses is low cost or free from sources like the SBA or the Small Business Development Center. And
right.
So I want to see more African Americans in the circles I play in,
right,
which I don't see a lot. So,
and Claire, you said off the air, you told us that the key that you knew as a child growing up in the specter of the Depression, you knew that the key to your future was going to be education.
With education, and I'd have to work twice as hard, and I may get half as far.
But you did it.
But I did it. But I
yes.
did it. But remember, I had parents who put that as a mantra in my head. There wasn't anything, will you go to college? Of course I will go to college. When I finished high school, I would go to college. I lived in a housing project. My father was unemployed. He had a great job during 1929 as a bellhop. In 1930, they fired all the black bellhops and hired white ones because now that became a good job. So I understood about that, but I also understood that I had to persevere.
Well, exactly. And we lost Don for a second. We're going to get him back on. We'll get him right back on. But Claire, I agree with you.
And that doesn't happen in every household.
Right.
If you grow up in a household where education is not valued, where the parents cannot set goals, what we are experiencing now is still a legacy of I can't.
But Claire, we've got the statistics show a high dropout rate for young black men. More, not nearly as many black men, if I'm not mistaken, nearly as many black men are going to college as they used to,
right.
And certainly
more
a smaller
black women
number
are going to college than men. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
They have dropped out there, or they're in the criminal justice system.
Don, we were just talking about, sorry we dropped you for a second there, but we were just talking about the statistics show, as important as you and Claire say education is, and it clearly is, that's not the thing that seems to be happening for black men.
I agree, and that's why I said I'd like to see more in the circles I play in.
What are the reasons for those things, Don? What is causing that? Is political correctness causing that? Did we lose Don again?
It's not just political correctness that's causing it.
Okay, what is it?
Part of that is the legacy. When you think of what happened to African American people and how the society keeps us oppressed, first it was slavery,
right.
Then it was the laws kept
right.
us from equal opportunity, and now it's much more subtle.
But it perpetuates itself. But with
although
all the things,
I have to acknowledge, it certainly is better.
Yeah.
And if I could wish for something, I wish that at the time of Martin Luther King, once he was killed, and if African Americans had come together collectively and decided there's one thing that we can do for ourselves, we can ensure that we are educated and we provide education for our children. And if that became a mantra, permeated.
Right.
But
why isn't? But Don. Don, are you back?
Yes, I'm back.
Why isn't that something that is pushed and promoted in the African American community? I don't know that it is, and because the results don't prove that it is.
I would say it is in terms of lip service, but
yeah.
in terms of putting money behind it, that's the real issue. And you know, there are certain economic conditions that affect African Americans, and they're usually where I've seen in the companies I've worked for are the first to be laid off.
The last hired.
I mean, you can want education for your children, you know, and know that that's a good thing, but you know, economics.
But yet we have a black president who was not born to privilege and who got a Harvard education. And so, you know, I mean, when we come back, I want you two to address this concept of political correctness. Both of you have indicated that you think that's one of the challenges. And we're going to talk about that in the time we have remaining with our good friends Donald Hunter, Claire Villarosa. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. Don't want to miss a second of our time with Donald Hunter, Claire Villarosa. Claire's book is Down to Business. Claire, give us your website quickly, please.
www.clairavillarosa.com.
So check it out. You can find more about her book there. Books available wherever books are sold. Donald, how do we find you?
www.donaldhunterfinancial.com.
All right. So check that out. And we're going to have you guys back. We got a lot more to talk about. So here's a question I need to ask you. How much damage has political correctness done to advance African American progress in their progress period? Donald, I'm going to let you go first.
Actually, I'm more concerned now about political correctness around African American issues because the mainstream press is controlling the message. The most recent situation with Harry Reid,
right?
You know, it was turned into a political issue,
yep.
versus a real discussion around how race affects African Americans and racism affects African Americans in the United States.
And so when that happens, it diminishes dialogue. People then began to say, there are certain things I cannot say.
Well, or they're afraid to bring up a topic because...
I'm afraid to say, I'm afraid to bring up a topic, and I'm afraid to say something because I'm afraid I'm going to offend someone.
There are people who would be afraid to, for me to start this dialogue with you two right now.
Right.
Right. And the African-American leaders just went with the talking point.
Is that where the problem is? Is the leadership, the so-called leadership, are they the problem? It seems to me that they are.
That is part of it. But one of the things that we certainly can do, and I used to do, is to begin with race groups. Get small groups of African-Americans and non-African-Americans to find a place where they can actually have a creative dialogue with each other without feeling they have to censor what they say.
And Don,
and feeling concerned
and Don,
about offensive.
And in those meetings, Don, slay political correctness. What do you think, Don? Don, go ahead.
In those meetings.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say to let people express themselves the way they want. I mean, you don't have to be mean. You don't have to be derogatory.
Right.
And there are certain words that are. But I think you can talk about race and have an open discussion.
Well,
I think we do on a localized level in a lot of cases. I certainly do with my non-African-American friends.
Well, political correctness is political correctness. I want to say this on the air. Political correctness is the enemy of excellence. Do you agree with that, Don?
I think so, and it worries me about the United States just in general that we can't come down on the side of truth. There's always so many sides to everything, and I think we're starting to lose our focus.
Claire, do you agree with me?
I agree. I think it is an enemy. It is not the enemy. It is an enemy.
Right.
It doesn't work in our favor because it doesn't enhance the dialogue between each other.
Right. And as long as leaders, political leaders and community leaders, as long as they play that political correctness card, they're not serving the African-American community, are they?
No.
No, they're not.
And how do we fix that, Don?
We have radio shows like we're having
today. That talk about it, to encourage people to talk about it within their own network, within their own groups, within their own family.
Right.
They say, it's all right to... Oh, somebody said it's all right to do that.
Right.
Talk about it.
Right.
But
Don,
it's also
ahead.
Important to have people like yourself, Jim, who will bring up this topic and bring on people that are willing to discuss it and look at it from different perspectives.
Well, one of the things I want to do...
It's also important for a non-African American to raise the issue.
Right. Well, and I'm going to keep doing this because I care about all entrepreneurs, not just white entrepreneurs, not just purple entrepreneurs, all entrepreneurs. And I want everybody to have an opportunity, and I think the opportunity is there. There are some stumbling blocks that are left, but I wonder how many of them are in our minds, white, black, purple, otherwise. And I want you guys to come back another day and help me sort this out. Will you continue to do this?
Delighted. I think that's what's needed, an ongoing dialogue.
Right.
And also,
Claire, I'm sorry, Claire. I've got to stop you, Claire, because we got to wrap it up. Claire Villarosa, thank you for being here so much for your honesty. Don Hunter, thank you so much for your honesty and for being here. We'll do it again real soon.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, Donald. Bye, Clara. Wow. Wasn't that great, folks? We're going to do this again. We got more of this to come, I promise. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.